the devil's advocates. Because freedom.
Freedom. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Is that the wanker? The Wednesday edition. Not a wanker Wednesday. I don't have any wanker bashing. Maybe freedom. If I Googled them once or twice. But here is what I'd like to talk about. First and foremost, Dr. Harvey K was on earlier. Again, go listen to the podcast if you missed Harvey. But the question I asked Harvey is, how do we save democracy? And Harvey talked about, you know, Democrats putting forth winning propositions that might help them win some elections. And that's all well and good, Harvey. But, you know, the democracy ending event that I'm a little nervous about is the proposed coup 2024. It's already on the table. The plans are already being drawn. About a month ago, a guy came to the state of Wisconsin. His name was John Eastman. He was a Trump attorney. And to this day, or at least a month ago, he was still advocating for the overturning of the 2020 election. And I know that sounds ludicrous, but let's not forget, we still have an ongoing investigation of the 2020 election in a super secret special sauce prosecutor in Gableman. And he's still on the taxpayer dole. But anyways, Greg Sargent, a little opinion piece. Leaked emails from Trump's lawyer, that's the John Eastman referenced, show blueprint for a 2024 coup. You know, 2020 nearly worked. Let's try it again. The House committee examining the insurrection attempt has obtained new emails from the lawyer who helped concoct Donald Trump's plot to overturn the 2020 election. They reveal a whole new level of scheming behind that effort, which was even more nefarious than previously thought. But the emails also raise forward-looking questions. What do these new revelations tell us about how the subsequent efforts to steal a presidential election might unfold? And could conditions be different next time in a way that might facilitate such a scheme? Question mark. The answers to these questions are unsettling, but they also point towards a way we can protect ourselves from the worst. I've asked many times, what's the worst that could happen? Coup 2024. A little bit more. Will Congress act? Question mark. Doubtful. Answer. The emails from lawyer John Eastman showed him urging GOP state legislators in Pennsylvania to cast doubt on the 2020 vote totals, to create cover, to certify a slate of presidential electors for Trump. Politico reported on the emails, which the January 6th Select Committee obtained from the University of Colorado, where Eastman worked at the time. Never use the company email, folks. The key revelation, Eastman's scheme had an additional layer to it. We already knew that his plan centered on urging Trump's vice president to abuse his role in the Congressional Count of Electors to subvert the election's conclusion, right? That would be the Pence-aided coup. That was what was proposed. That was the original plan. But Pence didn't have the courage. Let me read on. Now in these new emails, Eastman is seen devising a pretext for state legislators to invalidate Joe Biden's electors and certify sham Trump electors. He advises a Pennsylvania legislator to use a complex formula based on treating mailed-in ballots as illegitimate. Cheer all that? So Eastman's new plan, describe all absentee ballots, all mail-in absentee ballots, as illegitimate. And therefore, you could extrapolate that enough Biden votes are invalid to show that Trump won the popular vote. Wouldn't that be swell? Here's what Eastman wrote. Go ahead.
I'm sure the military would have a wonderful day with that. That's really honoring our vets because a lot of them vote by absentee ballot.
Well, illegally, apparently. Invalidly, more importantly, at least for the scheme to work. Eastman wrote, then having done that math, you'd be left with a significant Trump lead that would bolster the argument for the legislature adopting a slate of Trump electors, perfectly within your authority to do anyways, but now bolstered by the untainted popular vote. The untainted popular vote, you know, minus the Joe Biden absentee votes. That would help provide some cover. Because we're just making up a rationale for a coup here, folks. Eastman advises the legislature to argue that Biden electors certified by the governor are thus null and void. This is extraordinary stuff. Yeah, you don't say, Greg Sargent. Eastman advised that a state legislature should concoct a fig leaf justification for declaring the correct Biden elector certified by the governor invalid and certifying Trump electors instead. First note that Trump himself also did something like this when Trump pressured the Georgia Secretary of State to find the votes. What, about 11,780 of them, Brian? To make him the winner. This was designed to create a similar pretext for replacing Biden electors with Trump ones. Here's a quote. Rep. Jamie Raskin, he's on the J6 committee. Eastman wasn't doing anything that Trump wasn't doing himself. They were both trying to get officials in the electoral process to substitute a counterfeit for the actual vote totals. Eastman was seeking to implant a new mathematical calculation contrived to produce a Trump win in Pennsylvania, Raskin said. And these Eastman emails showed that manipulating vote totals to create cover, air quotes, for state legislatures to appoint sham Trump electors was more central to the scheme than we knew. And for those listening in the great state of Wisconsin where I live, let's not forget we had 10 false Trump electors here as well. All Republican Party officials. Hell, one of them's a Wisconsin elections commissioner, Bob Spindell. You know, we name names here. Whether, back to Sargent's writing, we name his name as well. Whether this creates more exposure for Eastman and others remains to be seen, but this also has other important implications. It reveals with more clarity an avenue by which nefarious actors might seek to subvert a future election. Told you a couple weeks ago, this Eastman, he's a forward looker. Note that Eastman says, almost as an aside, that state legislators have the authority, again, air quotes, to appoint new electors even if the popular vote totals don't justify it. Here's a quote from Richard Hassan. Eastman's view is that the legislature has absolute power in terms of picking presidential electors. Elections expert Richard Hassan noted, even if that means ignoring the will of the voters or the legislature's prior rules on how to pick those electors. In the future, Hassan notes, bad actors might see this as a path to steal an election. You don't say, almost like they might, you know, try a test run in 2020 and try it again in 2024. Here's more. Right now, many Republicans enthralled in Trump's 2020 lies are running for positions of control over the election machinery at the state level, including Secretary of State positions. Crucially, such people would be in a position to create exactly the pretext that Eastman envisioned. How, you might ask? By using official stature to cast doubt on popular vote outcomes, manufacturing, and there's that word again, cover for a state legislature or a governor to certify fake electors for a losing candidate. Now, see the prior. A GOP-controlled House could then count those electors and flip a state or even an election. And Eastman has laid out the blueprint. Again, a quote. Jamie Raskin, the source. This shows the country one more strategic booby trap that was improvised by Trump's team that could sit there for use by bad faith actors in future elections. Sargent writes, such a scenario might appear unlikely right now. A lot of things seemed unlikely once upon a time. Nonetheless, all this underscores the dire need to reform the Electoral Count Act of 1887 to minimize the risks of such a thing being attempted. Done properly, reform could help thwart a rerun of exactly the scheme that Eastman developed. It could create a requirement that if a state-level attempt is made to certify sham electors, Congress must count only the slate that the courts deem the legitimate one. Here's a quote again. Congress absolutely must reform the ECA to clarify that no state officials, not governors, not state secretaries of state, not state legislators, can manipulate which electoral votes it will count. Legal scholar Matthew Seligman, an expert on the ECA, told, again, the author of this piece, Greg Sargent, The only way to do that is to require that Congress follow the court's decisions about which electors are valid, Seligman said. And if Congress doesn't act, that would mean relying on the virtue, I tell you, Fancy Brian, of individual actors in the right places to thwart such a scheme. But given all we've seen since the January 6th, institutional reform seem like a far safer bet. Wouldn't you say?
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
One more than we have. And create a false pretense in the state of Georgia, which, of course, this is still being investigated, to overturn the electoral count. That's exactly what Trump was urging. That's what he's being investigated for by a special grand jury in Fulton County. And Eastman's still up to it. Why the Department of Justice? And let's not forget, Eastman fought many legal rounds up until now. He's tried to shield much of this information from the public. Lawyer-client privilege, right? But let's not forget what the California courts said. Who was it? Clark? Or O'Clark? Or something of the sort. The federal jurist said, effectively, there's a strong probability that there's a crime fraud exemption that would not protect Eastman because what he was proposing to the supposed client, you know, and he wants to exempt those communications, but what he was proposing was a crime. It was a crime when he proposed it, and it was a crime when they tried to do it. And if they try to do it again in the future, it'd be nice if it was a crime then as well. And maybe we had some guardrails other than the advice of, what, Dan Quayle? Dan Quayle saved our democracy effectively? It's a little scary. 844-967-2789. You know what else is scary? Kristen Yelich hit for the cycle today, and the Brewers still got bombed. They started that game down 7 runs. I know many are joining us. We're the postgame show today. The Brewers postgame show, but they lost to the Cincinnati Reds. The lowly Reds. And Christian Yelich hit for the oh-so-rare cycle, which is a home run, a triple, a double, and a single in the same game. I think he scored like 6 runs, some crazy number of statistical anomalies by Christian Yelich, the former MVP, and the Brewers still lost. I guess when you start down a touchdown, you know, you're playing catch-up. So anyways, welcome back from the Brewer game. Hope you were, you know, paying attention in hour one.
I picked up Adrian Hauser, the starter. It wasn't really exciting for me.
Now, you are a big fan, aren't you, Fancy Brian?
I'm a fan of baseball in general, yeah.
You and my buddy Kunkel, you guys both like baseball. I used to come home in college. My buddy Runkel would be watching, like, whatever game. It could be the Padres and the, you know, Angels on the West Coast. I know those are interdivision. They don't often play, but you get my point. He'd be watching some West Coast game at midnight they'd be playing. I'm like, are the Brewers? Is that a replay? Why? No, man, it's just a baseball game. Just watching baseball. I got this guy in my rotisserie league. I'm like, is that a chicken? But apparently it's something people do with, what, statistical analysis.
And it's a type of fantasy baseball league.
It's super cool, I would suspect.
It's been going on since the 80s, man.
A participant in the Rotisserie Baseball League. Isn't that where, who was the guy that was with the Red Sox, you know, the Moneyball guy?
Are you talking about Bill James, or are you talking about the guy who wrote the book Moneyball?
Not him specifically. I was talking about the former general manager of the
Red Sox. Billy Bean.
Yeah.
No, he for the A's.
Well, my whole thought is, you know, aren't those just rotisserie guys that got jobs in baseball?
That's longer than what we have for the rest of this segment, but yeah.
I can give you 5 seconds to answer. Come back.
Baseball rules.
More Devil's Advocates. We'll talk about the January 6th hearings. They're coming up starting June 9th. I've got some details.
A memo can change the world.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
Did you see the memo about this?
Life is winning in America once again.
And I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo.